Good morning, everyone. Over the holidays, my son-in-law and daughter thought it would be funny to give me this big box. And so I unwrapped this big, said TV on the outside of it. So I unwrapped this big box, and here are, I don't know, 20, 25 books that were supposedly a present to me from our dog. My black lab is a fairly well-behaved dog, except when we all leave, if I happen to leave one of, it has to be my book, if I happen to leave one of my books anywhere within reach, she decides that's free. And it's her prerogative to tear that stem to stern however many times she wants to rip it apart. So they decided that they would get, they went to Goodwill or somewhere and bought these 20, 25 books and gave them to me in this big box. So that was from her. So I supposedly could leave them down for chew on them instead of some of the others. As it happens, they did a pretty good job picking out books. I haven't let the dog chew any of them yet. In fact, this is really weird. I end up giving one back to her to read. And I've been reading one myself, and I'm going to steal some thoughts out of that and kind of extrapolate from that this morning. And it's entitled, What If America Was a Christian Nation Again? Very intriguing book, and sometime I'll share some of the history in it, which I think you might enjoy. But anyway, that's kind of where I got started on this, and reading one of those books that she gave me. I'm still going through. It's one of two or three that I'm reading right now. But we're going to talk about, basically this morning, two or three concepts that are in the Bible and in our society and have changed or are changing in their meaning and what we as Christians should think about them. In Galatians, the 5th chapter and verse 13, it says, Brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. In James 1 and 25, I should have written these out for you. Maybe I did write them out for you, come to think of it. James 1 and 25 says, Whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, good things will happen to them. And Galatians 2, 4 through 5, better turn there. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So the first thing we're going to talk about is liberty, or freedom, which is a word, liberty, which is a word that has been misconstrued and has continued to be misconstrued in our society and in our churches and in religion in general. So we're going to talk about,
basically the three principles are these.
Liberty, absolutes, and tolerance. In August of 1994, a man was walking on the beach in Florida and discovered a boat. And this is not a boat that you would want to buy. This boat was made up of two regular house doors that were put together on the bottom. On the sides, it had two other doors that were kind of nailed like so. And going across it were some old shutters to kind of hold the sides up. And on the bottom was some styrofoam that was stapled to the bottom of those doors so it would float. And a group of refugees had come over on that, not a very big group, obviously, came all the way from Cuba, crossed shark-infested waters to get to the United States for what? For freedom and liberty. This is a huge draw for mankind. And it should be a huge draw for mankind. And it should be a huge draw for Christ because he offers true liberty and freedom. I don't often quote him, but Billy Graham said, We have confused liberty with license, in our society on the brink of self-destruction. That's in the church and in our society. A man by the name of Charles Hummel said, real liberty or freedom can only be conceived in terms of a purpose for which we are made. It has to have purpose. So an evolutionist can't have a good definition or concept of true liberty or freedom because he has no purpose. What's the purpose of evolution? What is the purpose? Where's it end? Who made it? Who's controlling it? Where's it going? What are we trying to get to? Nobody knows. It has no purpose. He makes the point that true liberty or freedom has to be considered in the light of the purpose for which it was made. So he draws a distinction of a locomotive, a very big locomotive, tearing down, which way is it more free? Tearing down the tracks at high speeds, following that tracks and going where it's supposed to go, or when it jumps the tracks and wipes out a town and many people, etc. You consider its freedom, what it was made for, what it was purposed for, in order to decide if it's truly free or not. Now, liberty from God, and liberty as understood by the apostles, and liberty as understood by our founding fathers, all happen to be the same thing. That liberty is a freedom to do what is right. There are some definitions I want you to walk away with today if you don't remember anything else. Liberty is the freedom to do what is right. It is not the freedom to do whatever you want. It's a freedom to do what is right. License is described in the dictionary as excess, immoderation, abandon, lack of control, or lawlessness. And in 1 John 3 and 4, we read that sin is a transgression of the law. It's lawlessness. It's lawlessness. So license is the freedom to do what's wrong. Okay? True liberty is the freedom to do what is right. License is the freedom to do whatever I please. Anything I want. And we have all heard and seen that, and this started clear back in the New Testament. God is a forgiving God. God's in a forgiving business. I can do whatever I want, and God will forgive me. That's the liberty I see in Christ. God, I can do whatever I want, and God will forgive me. Now, I am not free. I do not have license under God's law. I have liberty under God's law. I have the choice and the ability to do what's right. I don't have the choice and the ability to do anything I want. Salvation is not a license to sin. It's a deliverance from sin. Not a license to sin, but a deliverance from sin. Look at Jude, fourth verse. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't seem to be the one I wanted. It talks about the principle. Let me double check. Turn the grace of our Lord, I guess it is, into lasciviousness. Translated lawlessness other places. Turn the grace of God into lawlessness. So I can do whatever I want. I don't have to worry about there being any law in Christ. Christ gave his life for me, and I can do whatever I choose because Christ will forgive me of it. No, he won't. Christ gave you liberty. He didn't give you license. He wouldn't give you license.
Eric, you want to look smart sometime. Or dumb, depending on how you feel.
Antinomianism is the attitude of mind that is against law whatsoever. Any kind of law. It's what drives anarchy. So it says Christ has redeemed us, so there's no law for us? Don't. No. No. We don't get eternal life by faith and keeping the commandments. We get eternal life by grace. We know that. No one can work hard enough or be good enough to get eternal life. We all know that. In fact, that is the difference, one of the major differences that maybe we'll talk about one of these days, between Islam and Christianity. Islam is totally dependent upon works. Totally dependent on works. And what makes it worse is they're not really sure what works, and they're not really sure anybody, including Muhammad himself, can do enough. So how's that? When we talk about works and faith, how would you like to live in that system? You're going to be saved if you are saved. You're going to be saved by good works, but no one knows for sure what they are except jihad. The only way to get absolutely guaranteed to go to heaven if you're a Muslim is to participate in military jihad. That's it. That's the only way guaranteed. Even Muhammad couldn't guarantee it otherwise. Ours, we're saved by grace. Saved by grace alone. But that doesn't lead to a inability or a lack of responsibility to obey. In John the 14th chapter and the 15th verse, Jesus himself said, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. There are commandments to be kept. There is a law. There is something to be done. But as you look out across your society and you look out across the religious world, the cry is for liberty, but what they're really crying for is license. They want the freedom to do what's right. They want the freedom to do whatever they want. And that's what's tearing down our society, and will tear down the church as well. A humanist doesn't want freedom under law. He wants freedom from the law. From the law. Unless he can make laws that decree, legalize the things that he wants. That's why we hear so much talk of rights. It's my right. It's my right. Well, who said? Who said it's your right? And we don't hear about the responsibilities that goes with it on the other side. You have rights and you have responsibilities. You have rights and you have responsibilities. And very seldom do they come apart at all. And some would say that our Western culture is losing its sense of good and evil. And I think that's true in some respects. Some respects. Which brings us to James 1 and 22 as Christians, where we are to be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving ourselves. We aren't meant to just hear and say, oh, that was nice, that was good, that's a good lesson, it's a good talk, I enjoyed service this morning, liked the singing, and then go do whatever we want because we have license. No, we have liberty. Liberty, not license. So I'm going to jump down to tolerance for a minute, because this is something that all of us have to deal with in a workplace, in society in general, in schools, etc. Constant talk of tolerance. And isn't it interesting, as you think about it, and you look at what's really happening in our world, it seems to me the most intolerant people are the ones that are yelling about tolerance the most. Isn't that weird? Tolerance was given birth to by Christianity. Because what is tolerance? Except Matthew 7 and 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men would do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law of the prophets. Respect for another person's life and personhood, even if they're different. Thought I'd lost a page of notes. That would have been interesting. I probably could have winged it. I've done it before. I don't know if you've ever had the experience. One time up at Mason City, I walked in and I thought somebody else was going to be there, and they weren't. And so I led songs at the Lord's table and then talked for 40 minutes just off the top of my head. I don't know if it was any good, but we found the scriptures we needed and we went where we needed to go. It was interesting. Anyway. It seems that church and society are engaged in this continual struggle between faith and unbelief. And one of the myths that are being driven to today is that there are no absolutes. Every truth is relative. Up to 70% of the people, adults in our land today, believe that all truth is relative. There are no absolute truths. And you always hear these people, numbskulls, come up with Einstein. Einstein and relativity. Well, guess what? Einstein and relativity was about physics, not about ethics. Okay? It was about physics. Relativity works with physics. It doesn't work with ethics. And even Einstein knew that, despite the rather interesting and probably most times ungodly life that he led. He still had a very strong feeling of what was good and what was bad, that there was good and there was bad. And he spoke out against bad when he heard it. So he was talking about physics, not ethics, not what's right and wrong. And when you lose a sense of right and wrong, what do you end up with but what we've saw back in Judges? Everyone does what's right in their own eyes. That's where you end up. And when everyone does what's right in their own eyes, and there are no absolute truths, then you're an atheist. I don't care if you call yourself a Christian or not, you're an atheist. You don't believe in God, because God is absolute. If there are any absolutes, it's God. So I don't care if you call yourself a Christian or go to church or anything else, if you don't believe in absolute truth, you are an atheist. By definition. In 1 Peter 2 and 16, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." How did they use their liberty for a cloak of maliciousness? By saying, because I have this liberty in Christ, I can do whatever I want. I can just go on and do it. Now, let's talk about tolerance for a little bit. That's where I really wanted to get to. Tolerance. Everywhere you go, you hear about tolerance, 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 tolerance. Everything's tolerance, tolerance. Let's talk about tolerance. That may be what you're exercising currently. Tolerance, we all know what tolerance is. Tolerance is when you put up with something or you bear with people who hold to views or beliefs or values or lifestyles you don't agree with. That's what it is. And we all tolerate one another in one sense or another, right? You ever wonder what would happen? I've never been a twin, obviously. Good for the world. You ever wonder what would happen if you met yourself? You know, one of those Star Trek alternate universe things. If you met yourself, would you like yourself? I doubt it. We'd probably get in some non-ending discussion and never finish it. Never. Just go on and on and on and on. But tolerance is the ability to put up and bear with someone who's not like you, right? You don't agree with their lifestyle, their beliefs, their values, etc. That's tolerance as we all understand it. But I want you to understand, and here's the second point I want you to remember, the difference between modern tolerance and tolerance as we know it. Modern tolerance is not only to put up with the values, habits, lifestyles, and beliefs different than ours, but we're to accept them, their values, their lifestyles, their beliefs, as absolutely equal to and as valid as our own. Where did that come from, and how stupid is that? How stupid is that? So, taken to its ultimate conclusion, modern tolerance says, I have to accept whatever you do as being equal to whatever I do. Whatever you believe as being equal to whatever I believe. Whatever you value as being equal to whatever I value. There is no right or wrong. There is no good or evil. It's tolerant. I'm tolerant of you. Now, you realize that where that puts you, because if your values and my values are always equal, how are either one of us going to ever improve? We really can't change. Because if I improve, then your values aren't equal to mine anymore. Isn't that working math? If 1 equals 1, and I add 1 to one side, 2 doesn't equal 1 anymore. It doesn't work. But if we, in this current world, say that we need to be tolerant, that we need to be tolerant as in putting up and bearing with someone else, but not tolerant in necessarily agreeing what they do, then we are called a bigot. Prejudice. Depending on what you're talking, a homophobe or whatever. We have disasters that happen because this is so politically correct, people won't say anything. But they're told they need to be tolerant. So where does that take you ultimately? That kind of tolerance takes you where nothing's right or wrong. It takes you to an area you can't defend and don't want to defend. Because at its ultimate, that means that Adolf Hitler's views of white supremacy are as good as your views of people being equal. It means Judas's views that Jesus needed to die for 30 pieces of silver is as valuable as your view that Jesus is your Savior. Now, where are you going to go with all that? Where does it end up? The next thing that comes out is, I can't find fault with you or with your belief without finding fault with you as a person, because they're one and the same. If I'm gay and you find fault with my homosexuality, then you're finding fault with me, not my homosexuality. They can't be separated. We're together. We're one and the same. Well, Jesus didn't seem to think so. The woman that was caught in adultery in John the 8th chapter, they brought her to him, and he separated her from what she had done. Right? I forgive you. That's her. Go and sin no more. Recognize that she'd done something, and she better not do it again. She separated the two. We can separate them. We can talk about some principle without talking about the person. And when all is said and done, sin is still going to be sin, no matter what. No matter what. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. What we were put for here is to please God. We were put here to worship God. That's our purpose. And you will never find true liberty or freedom until you behave within that purpose. Otherwise, you will have no freedom and you will have no liberty. And what's happening in our country is liberty is being confused with license. And what's happening in our churches, if we're not careful, is liberty is being confused with license. They are two different things. There's an absolute God that says there are absolute truths. There are things that are absolutely okay, and there are things that absolutely aren't okay. He said so. He's absolute. That makes it so. Argue with him if you want to. I don't think you're going to get very far. He's absolute. And because he's absolute and he said this is good and this is bad, then we can believe that this is good and this is bad because he is absolute truth. And because I can believe that this is good and this is bad because he said so, then I can be tolerant of you. I can put up with you and I can bear with you, but don't ever ask me to agree with you if you're wrong. Don't ask me to act like I agree with you if you're wrong. Don't ask me to be quiet about disagreeing with you if you're wrong. Not likely to happen. Not likely to happen, because tolerance is not agreeing to as being equal. Tolerance is putting up and bearing with as being different. You're going to see this more and more in the church and more in society, because as we have these different cultures and lifestyles trying to intermingle themselves, that you reach a point where there is no way to intermingle them. We can pretend that black and white can get together and still have black and white, but you're going to have gray. That's what you're going to have. Black and white cannot be together and exist as black and white. It's not going to happen. There are certain things that aren't going to go together. And sin and false religions and doing evil are never going to be anything but that. No matter how we put them together. No matter how tolerant we want to be. No matter how good people seem to be. No matter how much it would be easier if we could just be at peace together. Just accept one another as we are and agree with one another. Well, that would be great, but it never, ever, ever is going to happen. Because the only way you can get there is by denying truth somewhere. You're denying truth. Man has been in conflict since the very beginning of his existence. He has been in conflict. God said, don't eat of that tree. Devil said, oh, that's just a law. You know God. He probably didn't mean it. He's got some ulterior motives. He doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. Go ahead. Go ahead. And if it happened in our age, we'd have said, go ahead. God will forgive it. God will forgive it. Go ahead. See what it tastes like. God will forgive it. Liberty in Jesus is not licensed to sin. Liberty in our country is not licensed to do whatever we want. Liberty is freedom to do what's right. What's right? Well, I don't know. What you think's right and what I think's right are two different things, aren't they? Probably. But what you think and what I think's right will be the same if we look at the absolute and say what he says is right and what he says is wrong is right and wrong. That's what our founding fathers set up in this country. That's what they tried to set up. Anybody who tries to tell you that this wasn't set up as a Christian nation is stupid and ignorant. They haven't read anything about history and what happened in history and how we were set up or even our Constitution itself. They have no knowledge. All they want to do is ignore the facts, which is what we're talking about here. Ignore the facts, ignore the truths, and make anything true. And you shouldn't question it because you are tolerant. That's why. Now, how stupid is that? What kind of trouble has that gotten us into in world history? When people didn't stand up and say, that is evil. If my memory serves me right, there was a certain prime minister by the name of Chamberlain. It was prime minister of Great Britain. And Hitler was raising and raising, and he said, we'll make a deal with him. We don't want to call it evil. We'll call it just a little different. He's a little different. And we'll let Hitler be different over there, and we'll be our way over here. Well, that evil rose up and smacked him in the side of the head. Because evil is always going to be evil, and good is always going to be good. Now, I'm not encouraging anybody to be intolerant, as in obnoxious and unable to put up with someone else's differences in whatever ways they are. I don't believe in that. I don't think Christianity teaches that. But neither does it say that I have to agree with it. Neither does it say I don't have the right to say something about it. Neither does it say that I can't try to influence other people to see my point of view. Isn't it always interesting that it's okay for the evil side to express their point of view and try to convince you and spend money to agree with them, but it's absolutely bigotry for you to try to convince someone to agree with what God said? How does that work? Well, how that works is you can say whatever you want if you don't have any absolute truths. It doesn't have to make sense. Doesn't have to make sense. Doesn't have to have any truth in it. And then if you don't agree with it, I can just say, you're a bigot. You're intolerant. Well, that's bad enough in society. Okay? But when that gets in the church, if that gets in the church, then we've got a real problem. We've got a real problem because evil is still evil and good is still good. And God still is the one defining it. Not us. Not us. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it puts us in situations that make us uncomfortable. We talked about one in class this morning. They make us uncomfortable. They're hard. They're supposed to be hard. They're hard. But it doesn't change the fact. here's what the truth is, here's the way you do it. You either do that or you're contrary to the truth, period. And that is called sin. That's called sin. So this morning I want you to take away just a couple of things here. I want you to understand what liberty really is. Liberty is not the freedom to do anything you want. Freedom is not to do anything you want. If we tried that, it would be absolute anarchy. In fact, if you want to try it right now, you're all welcome. You can all bring up your money and put it right there for me, all your money. Because I'm bigger than you and I can make you give it to me. I make anything right. That's called anarchy. That's what that's called. That isn't going to work. That isn't going to work. But try it a lot of times. But when man starts losing track of an ultimate truth, he has to become as, who said it? Became gods to themselves. What book is that in? They made idols resembling themselves. When God is left out of the equation, where do you go for truth? Where do you go to decide what's right and wrong? What's right is I'm bigger than you. That's where you go. I can shout louder than you. I can bring more lawsuits than you. I can threaten you more. I can do any number of things. If you throw away right and wrong from God, we're in desperate straits. You know, our founding fathers knew that so well that they put off the revolution. It was a revolution, all right. They put off the revolution for probably at least 20 to 30 years. They were ready, the leaders were ready to break away from Great Britain. They refused to do that because they said, I think I told you this before, the people of the colonies need to be a virtuous people. Because only a virtuous people can support a democracy. What does a virtuous people mean? How do you define virtue? God defines virtue. We need to be a godly people before democracy would work. They waited for 20 years to start the revolution. You don't need to think that just happened happenstance. That was planned. They waited for 20 years to start the revolution, and there was a huge spiritual revival in the colonies right before that happened. And finally, the leaders were convinced that perhaps people are virtuous enough that we can support a democracy. Did that mean everybody was godly and good and everything? No, but it meant they had a concept that there was good, there was bad, and it was real, and it mattered. And it mattered. And that's what we need to put back in society, and that's what we need to put back in the church, and that's what we need to put back in our lives. There is a good, there is a bad, and it does matter. It does matter. Those are my thoughts for this morning. If there's anyone here outside of Christ, you may think you're free to do whatever you want. Some people look at Christianity as kind of like a big old straitjacket you put on and won't let you do anything. It'll let you do anything that's good for you. It'll let you do anything that's good for you. It'll make you free like you've never been free before. But you want to be put in a straitjacket, be absolutely free. Do whatever you want. Go out and rob a bank. See how free that makes you. Go kill somebody you're mad at. See how free that makes you. Go slander somebody. See how free that makes you. That's not the road to freedom. That's a road to prison, probably. Bars. It's not the road to freedom. Liberty and freedom is the freedom to do what's right. You have the freedom in this country to do what's right. You have the freedom in this church to do what's right. Because Jesus said you did. And he paid the price so you could. We offer the invitation as we stand and sing the closing song.